Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Ben, good morning there. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ben.
Andrew, what have you got for us today?
Well, Ben, you did such a good job last week wielding the gavel of justice and sitting in the tax court.
I should have my gavel here.
Chair, that I got another one for you, and I hate to bring this one to our listeners.
I got something I can use. Come to order.
Especially after the day of love yesterday with Valentine's Day. I've got a love story that does not end up so well.
Because when
you end up in the tax court, it's not a good thing.
Okay.
So we'll go through those facts and circumstances. But to get us previewed,
mm-hmm.
we'll talk about what the case is about. And Ben, it's about innocent spouse relief.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we mentioned when you sign that married filing jointly return,
mm-hmm.
you and your spouse are signing for joint and several liability.
Yes.
And what that means is they can, the IRS can collect the full amount
mm-hmm.
from either party.
Right.
And we've mentioned before.
Together or separately. That's
together
joint
or
several.
Separately. That's exactly right. So either party can be responsible for paying mm-hmm. the full tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the general rule. In order to get, relief from that rule, and if you're a spouse in certain circumstances, you file what's called innocent spouse relief
mm-hmm.
and you go through the process, and it is a process and it's a very fact intensive search. They really look and see what the facts are surrounding, and there are elements that you must meet.
So it's more than just Eve made me eat the apple.
There you go.
It's going to be a little bit more than that.
You got it, Ben. So you know, certainly it's and that's why it's important, especially when I meet with a client regarding innocent spouse relief, is to go through each and every, you know, real fact intensive. I mean, real intense meeting, because we have to go through exactly, you know, what did you know and when did you know it kind of situations.
Right.
And then see what we can do as far as molding the facts to meet the elements, to try to get the person innocent spouse relief. And that's different from injured spouse relief. That's the other kind of relief mm-hmm. that we have. And that's when, you know, you may know that we got filing season upon us. You may know that your spouse has some tax debts that are out there. You still want to file married filing jointly because you get some of the benefits, some child tax credits mm-hmm. and other things that aren't allowed if you do married filing separately. So therefore you want to make sure that you get your refund back that's
mm-hmm.
supposed to come to you, because we know the other refund's going to get taken because of the existing
right.
liabilities that are out there. And you can actually file a form for injured spouse relief. And what it does is it just treats your tax attributes and your spouse's tax attributes separately
mm-hmm.
and determines what your refund should be. And you get that refund, and then whatever refund your spouse is entitled to, you know, goes
right.
bye-bye.
Okay.
So that's kind of how that works with injured spouse relief. Innocent spouse relief is, you know, after the return's already been signed.
Yeah, there's no way I could have known.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you go down the line, and you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, I didn't know. He just said sign here.
Right.
You know, and I just did it, or it just got e-filed and I had no clue what was going on.
Even that's not enough of an excuse though, right? I mean, it's got to be, you have to show, like you said, when did you know, what did you know and when did you know?
Correct. Yeah. If there's signs out there that things were amiss, you know, mm-hmm. you still may not qualify, but those are kind of the general rules. So let's hop into our case today.
Okay.
All right. And so we'll just go through. It's a classic love story.
All right. Let's see if I can get this one.
Boy meets girl.
Mm-hmm.
Boy and girl get married, fall mm-hmm. in love, get married. Boy actually owns an AC business. He repairs
mm-hmm.
Air conditioning units down in Florida.
Right. Okay.
So figured that'd be pretty lucrative business. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, boy starts running behind on some bills.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells girl, listen, I got this really big contract that's coming up. But if you don't mind, you know, can you loan me some money, float me some money, until we hit this big contract? And then, you know, of course, we'll make things square at that particular point in time.
Now, are they married at this?
They're married.
Okay.
They're married. And so boy convinces the girl to withdraw $30,000 from her 401k.
Mm-hmm.
To float the business until this imminent big contract comes in, which will, you know, which will make things right.
Right.
And guess what happens, Ben? contract doesn't come through.
Doesn't come through.
Exactly right. So boy and girl file their taxes, and of course, lo and behold, there's the penalties and the taxes associated with the early withdrawal from the 401k that cause there to be taxes owed.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And then boy and girl say, we can't pay this. You know, what are we going to do? So they go down the roads of trying to declare bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
But during the process, you know, bankruptcy just doesn't work out for them. And during the marriage, boy was verbally abusive. He lied about past employment as a police officer. He really wasn't a police officer, in his former job. And when girl asked him to leave the home, he actually emptied out all of the joint with rider survivorship accounts that they owned and left her with absolutely nothing as far as money goes. Again, tragic story here at the day after Valentine's Day.
He's guilty. So, I'm just weighing
him. He's guilty. So guess what? Yeah. A girl seeks innocent spouse relief because here they have this tax debt that's owed. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, wait a second here. I'm going to ask the service to relieve me of paying this money that we took out from the tax that was associated with taking out money from this 401k.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I did it. He convinced me to do it, you know, and
he's taking all the money.
And now he's taking all the money. So, you know, surely the tax court can grant me innocent spouse relief to try to right this wrong that this boy did to me. What do you think, Ben? Now, you don't know a lot of the elements of innocent spouse relief, but based upon those facts and circumstances that she took money out of her 401k to float a business, thought she was going to get the money back during the process, now she's seeking innocent spouse relief from the service.
Again, I don't know a lot of the elements of innocent spouse relief, but I would think one of the key parts here might be that it was her 401k and hers alone.
Ding, 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 ding.
And that might be why she's going to still be liable for it.
Correct. Yeah. So element number 7 of innocent spouse relief when you're dealing with equitable relief is actually that the attributable item, that created the tax liability is to the non-requesting spouse. Mm-hmm. So in this particular instance, the non-requesting spouse would be boy. Girl is the requesting spouse. And you hit the nail on the head, Ben, which is, it's girl's 401k.
Yeah.
You know, she's the one who took the money out.
Right.
You know, the interesting thing is, we lawyers love our exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So there is actually an exception to this non-requesting spouse, rule, non-attributable spouse rule. And the two that are actually applicable in this case where the tax court did go through the process of analyzing it is number one, I mentioned before that during the marriage there was verbal abuse that took place.
Right.
So, abuse before the return was filed that affects the requesting spouse's ability to challenge the treatment of items.
Like signing a contract under duress.
Correct. Yeah. You got it. Do you think she signed the tax return under duress because of this verbal abuse?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Being a woman, I know that she probably would have done whatever he told her to do.
Yeah, that might be the case. But the issue we have here is you know, she took the money.
Under the specifics of that.
You got it. Yeah, so you know, she chose to take this money out of her 401k, and she chose to give it to him. And, you know, the facts of the case were, you know, and again, I think that she was probably pretty crafty and found that, you know, abuse is an exception to this rule and argued verbal abuse. But there was no direct link to you, like, you know, like, oh man, he really coerced her to pull that money out of that 401k for his benefit. No.
Yeah, here's where I'm texting my friend and told her that, you know, I had to sign this.
And I had
I
to
really
do
want
it.
To do it.
Yeah.
Right.
So the fact of the matter is that the court says, you know, look, this abuse, while we feel for the taxpayer.
Yeah. And she has lots of other action against him. I mean, obviously she can file for a divorce. She can seek all kinds of a compensation, I would imagine, for what he took and et cetera. I mean, there's going to be some other actions she can take, but maybe not this one.
Correct. Yeah. And that's I think you got the thing, which basically is the problem is this abuse exception just doesn't fit into that nice little hole to be able to help her, get the relief regarding, again, just innocent spouse relief and making her where she doesn't have to pay the tax liability associated with pulling this money out of this 401k. The other one is fraud. They analyzed fraud, and they gave a pretty good example in the case itself, which is basically where someone, you know, goes and signs your name.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, let's say that he signed her name to withdraw the funds from the 401k. Boom. clear example of fraud. That exception would apply. She'd get innocent spouse relief all day long.
Right.
Problem is, that didn't happen here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happened here is that she signed the dotted line. She made a quote unquote, and this is from the case, a business decision, and she knew that those funds could be subject to being lost.
Right. It's because it's a business.
Correct.
It's not a guarantee.
Exactly.
So, would this fit into the fraud exception? Unless there never was a business and he was making it all up.
Yeah. I think that probably could. You could probably argue, you know, like, look, I didn't know, but the big thing, and Ben, you hit the nail on the head right from the very beginning when I asked you what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
It was her 401k. She took the money out. And the problem is the tax court, regardless of how much they, you know, felt for her situation, I do believe you're right. I mean, she does have other recourse against him. But they're looking at the law.
I would imagine he's an ex now.
Yeah, he is an ex. You're exactly right. They got divorced, mm-hmm. you know, very quickly during this whole process. And that's actually one of the elements of innocent spouse relief sometimes is you have to be divorced to get certain types mm-hmm. of relief. In this particular one, she did. So the problem here is that, you know, she just didn't quite fit into the elements there. And the key here to her not getting this innocent spouse relief was just that it was her account, her money, her choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and here's another example of where you may have, and let's talk about this when somebody establishes, say, an LLC, and they're doing business as an LLC or maybe even incorporated, but they have wife signs off as a vice president or an officer in this company because they need so many officers or
yep.
a treasurer or whatever, and has no idea what anything is going mm-hmm. on. You know, that's something that You gotta figure it out. You've gotta learn what's going on.
That's right.
Before you put your name to it.
Exactly.
Okay, if you want to find out more about life and taxes, you call Andrew Foster at Harvell and Collins, and you can also email him afoster@harvellandcollins.com.